number 184.
Approve the designation of 16 trees as City of Portland Heritage Trees and remove the heritage tree designation from 6 trees.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a hearing that everybody on the council looks forward to every year, so I'm very happy to introduce this ordinance to add to our growing inventory of City of Portland Heritage Trees, which currently has 298 trees with this designation. And I encourage folks watching at home to be thinking about where there might be significant trees in your neighbourhood. I know there are some neighbourhoods like mine that have zero, so I certainly am keeping my eye out and going to be nominating some. The Heritage Tree Program is an important part of raising public awareness regarding the contribution of trees in our community. So thank you, Urban Forestry staff Angie DeSilvo and Urban Forestry Commissioner Greg Everhart, who have led the Heritage Tree Committee selection process.
Thank you, council members, for the opportunity to bring heritage trees forward on our annual trip here to look at nominations and delistings. My name is Angie DeSalvo. I'm Parks and Rec Urban Forestry staff. And Urban Forestry manages the Heritage Tree Program under authority of Title 11 Trees. This includes administering the program, inspecting and protecting heritage trees, as well as maintaining our publicly owned heritage trees. And Urban Forestry Commission is a key partner in this important program, and their primary responsibility is making recommendations to you for nomination of new trees. As such, Greg Everhart, Urban Forestry Commission member and chair of the committee, is going to be presenting today.
Great. And I know most of you have heard me several years in a row now, but we miss Commissioner Daly, so I'm just going to remind you that you can't be a heritage tree unless you are large, old, have a connection with some historical event or figure, or perhaps are a really unusual horticultural type. It is an abnormally large number of trees, both to lose 6 in 1 year. Normally it's 1 or maybe 2. But we're really happy that we did really great outreach and we had 87 nominations. It's a little more than we're prepared to handle. So I'm going to go quickly through the delistings. These trees have all been removed at this point. So this is really kind of a record-keeping thing. But last winter, you remember, we had both a major ice storm and a snowstorm. It was pretty devastating to the urban forest. Heritage trees actually did really well. Of the nearly 300, we had 4 damaged severely. This white oak had some upper limbs damaged, and then this crack developed, and it was moving. So the first of these 3 trees were actually removed with emergency permits, and by code, the city forester can deem a tree to be an immediate hazard. So on the slide, you'll see a common name, a scientific name, the number of heritage trees of that type we have, and then some of the measurements we take. The one in parentheses is really important because all the Title 11 numbers are in inches at diameter height. Heritage trees, which are usually quite large, we measure their and record their circumference. But remember those numbers like 12 inches and 30 and 36 inches, because where I can, I'll tell you how old a tree is. You really realize then what we lose in terms of years, sometimes how irreplaceable, you know, any tree might be. There's a heritage tree number. We're up in like the 340s, I think, now, because we've lost some over the years. And then we've got the location of the tree, and then how many heritage trees there are in each neighborhood, because they are not spread evenly. So this oak tree had this big split, and part of it was moving. It would have landed on potentially a sidewalk, street, and other buildings. So the city forester gave a removal permit. Wasn't needed here. This was a victim of the snow and actually brought this tree to you 2 years ago. We think it was actually a multiple tree, 5 or 6 acorns that sprouted and grafted together. But they were leaning so that the snow load basically took the whole thing down. We do salvage the wood. Some of this oak wood has become benches in community gardens. This third tree was essentially dead. Inspector happened to drive by. They know where the heritage trees are, and there were no leaves on it in June. So this was sort of the dead, dying kind of removal permit. only have one more shagbark hickory, so that's a fairly rare tree from the Midwest. This actually shows you specific storm damage. We lost two of our American elms. We've lost actually three or four of them in the last 2 years, so we're getting to a reduced number of elms. This tree had been in the program. If it's a public tree, urban forestry's arborists do the pruning and maintenance for the tree. So the committee, where the tree is not an imminent hazard, actually goes and visits the tree. We look at it. We've got half the committee is arborists, and we agreed with urban forestry that this tree literally could not recover. There's then a public hearing before the Urban Forestry Commission, and it needs at least six commissioners to vote to delist and remove a tree. Because this happens throughout the year. This is not a decision we bring to council. The commissioners for urban forestry are allowed to make this decision. But there's a public hearing. The neighborhood nominated this tree, still lives there. Sad to see it go, but supported our recommendation. This elm is more recent in the program. The branch that broke was actually 36 inches in diameter and didn't hurt anyone, but did hit a couple of cars and in a building. So when we met here, you see the sign there? I thought we had a protest on our hands. But it was actually a memorial, sort of an honoring of this tree. And so it's my reminder to say that people love trees. They particularly love large trees and even more particular heritage trees. So, again, this tree had already had all the pruning it needed to avoid this problem and was not going to be able to recover. The last one is an example. I think it was our smallest tree. This was in the first courtyard, at the Chinese garden. It's actually an example of a horticultural variety, and its historic connection was because it's native to China and was found in a southeast neighborhood yard, and those people were willing to donate it to the garden. So it had a long decline for a particular kind of root rot, and it had fewer and fewer leaves, so it's also being replaced.
That's one of my bad news. I've got to say for the
osmanthus
that they were selling. It's got gorgeous smell when it's in bloom.
Yep.
And when I visited, they were with my parents when they visited here. They were selling small ones at the shop, and I purchased one. It's still alive, but it's by no means grown a lot. So obviously, it's something that to get to that size, it's a very slow-growing tree. Unless I'm not doing what I should be doing to it.
Keep it moist, and you'll probably be good.
Well, that was the depressing part of the presentation, and I know we're going to jump into the forward-looking, optimistic part of the presentation. I want to acknowledge we have some students here from Lincoln High School from the Urban Exploration class. Did I get that right? Welcome. It's good to have you all here. Who's your teacher? Hi.
I'm Mary Reckner.
Mary Wagner? Reckner, thank you for being here. Thanks for bringing your students in. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having
me.
And I'm always willing to influence young people to
good
plant,
choice to
prune,
come today at right at this time.
And nominate potential heritage trees. So this is the fun part. The bad news is that we still don't have an even distribution of heritage trees. There are only five, for instance, that are east of I-205. And this shows kind of in color, the darker greens are the neighborhoods with more heritage trees. And the light green is a little deceptive because those neighborhoods don't have a heritage tree. So we're doing two things about that. One is that we've added three new members to the committee. Two are from Outer East. One is from Southwest. So now the committee is better geographically diversified. We also started to track, where our nominations were, and we've improved sort of the instructions so people will be more successful with their nominations. Because you see that some of those little tree symbols are gray. Those are trees that either were not healthy enough, actually hadn't been compared in terms of dimensions to existing heritage trees, or perhaps were not in the right-of-way. They'd been nominated as a public tree, but in Southwest, it's hard to find the sidewalks.
So could I interrupt, and maybe you could just quickly catch me up. So for a heritage tree to be a heritage tree, it has to be typically old, large, of historical significance. It has to be nominated And who is it nominated to?
It could be nominated by anyone, but if it's on private property, you need to have the consent of the owner. And so
Where do they nominate it?
What?
Where do they nominate it?
Oh, it's a one-page form.
Okay.
And it's available on the website. The deadline is always the end of Arbor Month, which is April. So May 1st, we'll know how many nominations we've got this year.
And then it goes
and I will put the link on the front page of my website so
perfect.
That people can do this, yeah.
Right.
Then it goes to this committee.
No, there's one prior step, and that's what's shown in this slide. There's actually an inspection. And so a certified arborist from Urban Forestry goes out and sees that the tree is reasonably healthy. It has no big structural defects. It has enough room to grow, both in the air and in the ground, and that it will have a long, potential life. And that the consent form was signed if needed to be.
Then it goes to the committee.
Then it goes to the committee.
And what kind of vote is required at the committee?
For heritage tree status, we had 10 people on most of our site visits. We had at least 7, often unanimous support. For a tree of merit, which has no protection, is not in the code, we go with a simple majority.
And then it goes to the commission before it comes to us?
Yes, and they need to actually, I think that again is 6, but that's been unanimous each year as well.
One of the things I remember Commissioner Novick saying was that we should have maybe allow for slightly younger trees so that they could have more time to enjoy their heritageness, which I thought was a good point because, some of these trees are not going to get big and old unless they get the right pruning, the right encouragement, the right protections.
That is actually what the tree code is supposed to do. I am continually saying we need to protect our teenagers and our middle-aged trees so that we have the seniors.
The
code is what the code is in terms of what qualifies a tree to be a heritage tree.
So that's yet another thing that we need to correct in the tree code.
Well, it is a burden. Urban Forestry maintains all the public trees, so there's some financial limits, and we have roughly half public and half private.
Okay, thank you.
So, can you extend my time slightly?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, I do have.
We're not going to.
Council questions doesn't count anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, I have Angie reminding me of the time. So, anyway, I won't belabor each of them, that they are each very special. This English walnut is up in Humboldt. Humboldt had no heritage trees. Their tree team and actually some committee members worked really hard to locate some candidates. We have only 2 of these. This is one of the trees that's not as visible as we normally require. You can see the top 2/3 from the street, but there's an alley, and you can see the entire trunk if you peek through the board. So we anticipate putting a second plaque back on the alley. Copper beech, we actually have quite a few of these because they grow really large in our climate, and I'm sure Commissioner Fritsch remembers these from the beech forests in England. They're pretty remarkable. This tree is special. It's what we call a phoenix tree. It was struck by lightning in 1960. See, it's got that hollow, which normally would terrify a certified arborist or a tree risk assessor. But they assured me that it was basically going to grow back around and that a hollow pipe could be stronger than sort of a solid rod. So I trust them and actually the urban forestry staff. You don't see that cavity from the street, which I think is important. It's not an attractive nuisance to climb in there. This boulevard cypress was one where I, as a landscape architect, had no idea they'd get this big. And this is where I'm starting with the private trees because I like to really point out that these folks are giving a gift to their community, their neighbors. They're forgoing use of their property to preserve these trees. So this is a small house in Richmond. They cannot do a garage or an ADU. But the tree is like 108 years old, and it's an important landmark there. Unusual horticultural variety. Here's the standard beech without the colored leaves down in Eastmoreland. Large lot. She actually had 2 other nominees. But this was the one that really is expressing most fully what this tree can do. And you look right up the driveway at it. So these photos are from the backyard because it's so big, you've got to get a distance away to see the whole tree. By contrast, there's now 3 small trees. We don't have any of these trees, and without this site, I don't think we would have ever had them as heritage trees. but Karen Hendrickson is the fourth generation of two families that had a nursery on their property in Southwest in Maplewood. And it's gotten small over time, and it'll eventually be subdivided. We've actually got five heritage trees that we okayed over the past 2 years. This one was keyed out. It's Chinese. It took Martin Nicholson on our committee, who's the curator at Hoyt, a Chinese flora, to figure out exactly what it was. Because Karen typically has good records, but this one...
What do you mean when you say keyed out?
Well, you basically look at the seeds and the fruit. It's a way to identify that, you know, you're Spiessler, wheelie eye, and out of, you know, whatever. So there's a lot of different kinds of maples, and this is not one that's growing in Portland, so you have to find the scientists and botanists that have decided what the name will be and what its identifying characters are.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, that was sort of a technical thing, but he had to literally make up an American or common name for it because it didn't translate well. The silver bell is also another small, charming tree. White bells, we saw just the end of the blooms. And then this last one is actually something you probably won't see in this form except at this site. Normally it grows, we plant it now as a street tree with just a solid single trunk. It might grow 40 feet tall. This is already 51 feet. When it's in this multi-trunk shrub form, it would be 20 feet. So this is a remarkable. I mean, they're all remarkable in their own way, but this is totally unexpected. Now I'm into the public trees. There's, I think, eight of them. Ponderosa pine just south of Gabriel Park. Most of you can actually visit this pretty easily. A real landmark. It's visible from the whole south part of the park as well as the street. And it's in the Multnomah neighborhood, the folks that actually nominated 30 heritage trees. They're very concerned about losing large trees, and they actually took action on it. This Douglas fir was the other one that we found. They nominated, among a number of people, nine different Douglas fir trees. This is near a corner. It's had good care over the years. Urban Forestry didn't hesitate to take on a tree this large. And then this is the anomaly. We've got four of the same species, which normally doesn't happen because, you know, one will be greater than the others. But these were all great. This is a species you see when you step outside City Hall on the Transit Mall. Very drought-tolerant, heat-resistant, take in bad urban air. This was actually planted and is the largest remaining tree along Highway 99. So it's up along the interstate light rail. And also in the same neighborhood are these three trees, which are in a little piece of sort of leftover right-of-way, maintained by parks. Again, these tough urban trees. I think this is like the essential expression of a tiny park. Trees and grass, it really just needs a bench. And we couldn't choose. And ultimately, one of the most severe, serious members of the committee said, you know, if these were in different locations, we'd accept each of them. So this one is the tallest in the, I think, the northeast corner. And then the tree down in the south actually was the broadest and had the biggest girth. So it's kind of like saying, which is the child you don't love the most or something. And so we unusually recommend all four of these same kind of trees.
So, Angie, there was some English ivy on that first one, on the Overlook one. So let's get on that. It was right at the base of it.
Yeah.
If I would lived anywhere near,
I'd be out there this
afternoon. I
think it's something that the youth team might be able to tackle.
I just wanted to mention it.
Sort of
get rid of that.
Educate people for potential forestry careers.
Yeah.
High school age.
Thank you.
This is a sassafras, native to the Midwest. I would never have guessed it as a street tree. We think that this particular tree is about 80 years old. We have a historian on the committee, Dave Hedberg, and he found that 12 sassafras trees were inventoried by the Works Progress Administration in 1938. There's no map, but this tree has got the size that would probably have indicated that age.
Any chance that there's any minor white photographs of trees?
I don't know. I can ask him. I have an expert.
The art museum has been showing the collection of the photographs he took of Portland. I know his focus was on cast iron buildings and interiors, but there's a lot of stuff along the industrial area, and I wonder if trees were part of his portfolio.
You would think that he would have at least the shade patterns on the buildings.
Might be worth asking the art museum because they have the complete collection.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Thank you, Commissioner Frist. So I'm down to the last couple. Again, this is a tree, like the sassafras in Humboldt, that had no heritage trees. So their tree team and our committee members really looked for potential nominees. And this, to me, is a great example of a large tree existing in a reasonably sized tree planting strip, which is why we need a little bit more width along our streets. And then the final one, this is the only one that's in a park.
Huge.
I think the common name is really appropriate, a grand fir. We had, until 3 years ago, just one. This was a tree, that was a tree, the prior grand fir, that was cut illegally. And it's where council, subsequent to that, changed the code so that we would penalize the damage or removal of private heritage trees to match what we do for public trees. This tree is actually much bigger, but it was a case of not seeing the tree for the forest. So it's near a path, the plaque will be visible, and it was actually recommended and nominated by someone who looks for state champion trees. So to conclude, 87 nominations, we looked at about 60 of them that made the initial screening. We actually recommended 20, but we had some problems with consent on a couple of them. Trees on property lines are a real problem in this city. So that's it. We welcome questions, comments.
Commissioner Udaly.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a pretty easy nomination form online that includes criteria. Where could members of the public find that?
If you Google Portland Heritage Trees, it'll come right up.
Great.
And the front side is very simple information to fill out. The back side is just sort of some hints for choosing a tree that's likely to succeed.
And then I have a question. If one of the properties is sold where there's a privately owned heritage tree, what are the rules about taking it down if the property is going to be redeveloped?
Well, that's where the City of Portland's program is unique. The trees are protected, and so this is something that the current owner does, and it constrains their use of the property and the use of the property into the future. So that's why these consent forms are notarized and recorded with the county so that people are alerted. And what happened with the tree that was cut down illegally is someone either took down the plaque or ignored it or who knows what. But you're constraining the value of your property, which is why I think it's such a gift from private property owners.
And so what would the penalty be for illegally?
It's by inch.
Okay.
And is it $600?
$600
an inch if you remove the tree where the city forester did not give you a removal permit.
Okay. Thank you.
Diameter. You're talking.
Diameter at breast height, yeah.
Sorry. Maybe we should make the penalty by height.
Or age.
Multiply it by that, yeah.
Can we go back for a second to the map that has all the heritage trees?
Sure. Let me tap.
I thought, since we have students from Lincoln, we try to figure out which is the closest heritage tree to the Lincoln School campus.
They've got one on their campus, I believe. They've got a black walnut.
Right.
Fantastic.
The plaque?
Yeah.
It's a great tree.
Yep.
Who knew? Good. Thank you.
Very good. Any further questions, colleagues? Any public testimony?
No one signed up.
This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second. Commissioner Fritz?
I just want to thank Greg in particular for all of your work on this. You were a Portland Parks and Recreation employee, but you've been doing this out of the love of Portland and the love of trees for a long time, and I appreciate that. Thanks to Angie DeSalvo and the Urban Forestry team. And the link to nominate a tree will be on my website by the end of the day and hopefully by the beginning of the afternoon session. So thank you very much, everybody, for your attention, and very proud of all this work. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz, would you entertain an emergency clause so that our visiting students can see democracy
in action?
Oh,
what a great idea. Thank you.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
A second, so that these trees would be protected as quickly as possible, because that is in the public interest.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Fritz. Please call the roll on the amendment.
Fritz?
That's an excellent idea, Commissioner. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you to Parks and Urban Forestry for all the great work you do in this program. These trees are very important to our city. Aye.
Udaly.
This is one of my favorite annual events. I've gotten to see two now, and I was happy. So it was sweet to see the memorial to the one tree. I kind of think that we maybe should have a little ceremony for those heritage trees that we lose every year. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted to the main motion. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Thank you for your presentation. I'm actually starting to grow a little tree in my apartment, and I've noticed in the last year it's grown a half inch. So it's not ready for heritage designation, but we're making progress.
Historic figure.
But thank you. And I'm reminded that we have three former and current parks commissioners here, and every year when we get this presentation, Dan always manages to say that's one of his favorite presentations. I think it's one of our collectively favorite presentations. And thank you for your good work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
We spend a lot of time in this council chamber talking about the character of our city and what makes it special and why it's a community that people love and support. This is obviously a key component of that. Thank you for an excellent presentation. And thank you, Commissioner, for all of your hard work over many years to make sure that this program continues to grow and expand. That's a deliberate analogy, and colleagues who have also served as Parks Commissioners, I know that this is a program you have stewarded with diligence and intentionality as well. Great presentation. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go, please.